So Father God, we do pray
that you will speak to us now.
Help us to know how we can bear the wonderful fruit of goodness in our lives. Amen. Well, a few years ago, there was a dispute between two neighbours. There was a retired couple living next to a couple who were in their 20s. And unfortunately, the dispute got quite nasty. It all seemed to begin when the young couple had some friends round. They parked badly. So when the retired folk came home with their shopping, they found themselves blocked out of their drive. Now, this habit of bad parking was nothing new, but this was the first time they found they were actually blocked from getting into their drive. As you can imagine, the retired couple were fuming. The man leapt out of his car, went up and thumped loudly on the front door. The door opened and the young man opened it. The older man shouted, "In effect, you horrible, selfish people, you've gone too far this time. I want these cars moved now. How dare you block us out?" The response was along the lines of, "Oh, go away, you odious man," and the front door slammed in his face. So the next day, the young couple returned home from work to find that now they'd been deliberately blocked out of their drive. They now felt their anger burn. "We'll show them," they said, and picking up a sharp stone, they made a big scratch down the side of the retired couple's car. And so the cycle of revenge continued. Rubbish was tipped over the fence into each other's gardens. Drawing pins were left under car tyres. And life became a misery for all concerned. Until finally the retired husband had a heart attack from all the stress. He was taken into hospital. The young couple didn't celebrate victory. They had a fight about it, which led to separation. In short, there were no winners. There's various folk proverbs around saying that we should seek revenge when we're wronged. You can think of some of them, I'm sure. Fight fire with fire. Give as good as you get. I'm sure you can think of other ones. But today we're continuing to think about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we come to goodness. And there's a couple of key phrases in our first Bible reading that I want to concentrate on this morning. We heard in Romans chapter 12 in verse 17, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil." And then verse 21 said, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And so the message is clear, isn't it? Christians should not fight evil with evil. Rather, as verse 18 puts it, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." I really don't think we should pretend for a moment that that is easy. The problem we face, of course, is that repaying people evil for evil is the most natural thing in the world to do. It's an instinct, isn't it? And we have it from the day we're born. Just look at the toddler group. One snatches a toy, what happens? The other one bashes them with a book. Why is it our gut instinct to respond like this? Well, I suppose on one hand, when we're wronged, we do want to see justice done, don't we? And our gut reaction, unfortunately, is to take justice into our own hands and wallop them back. On the other hand, we live in a sinful world because of the fall. And even as Christians, we're still infected by sin. Sin still has too big a hold on us, despite us being forgiven. And our sinful nature cries out for us to strike back. Get one over the other person. And we will try to justify ourselves for that behaviour, saying, "Well, I have the right to defend myself. I have the right to fight my cause." But sometimes we just strike back because we're sinful. It's instinctive behaviour. But of course, once we take the law into our own hands, well, things quickly spiral out of control, don't they? And that's what happened with those neighbours, quarrelling over the parking. But we've got to face up to it. This behaviour of trying to fight evil with evil is doomed to bring disaster. So the Bible says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't misread verse 21. It starts off, do not be overcome by evil. Any fans of Star Wars here? I'm not the only one. You're just too shy. You're too British. One in the choir. Well, there's three of us. Good. Lego Star Wars is my favourite, but that's another story. But the Star Wars films are all about this battle between good and evil. And in one film, Anakin Skywalker is being tempted over to the dark side. He eventually becomes Darth Vader. But the evil Sith Lord is there tempting him. And what's his strategy? He does it by encouraging him to give in to his rage and anger. He knows that way will lead to being overcome by evil. And it's similar for us. Giving in to this temptation to fight evil with evil is to actually let ourselves be overcome by evil. Evil is there trying to suck us in and enslave us. And if there's any conflict, well, evil will use that as an opportunity. When we repay anyone evil for evil, we will always be defeated. Because either we'll lose the fight, or even if we win the fight, well, what good is that? If we have resorted to evil tactics to win, how can we be anything but ashamed as we stand before Jesus on the day of judgment? We may think we've got the upper hand. Actually, it's the devil who's won the victory. I say again, when we get pulled into this cycle of escalation, nobody wins. It leads to broken friendships, strife in the community, health problems, as well as being the very road that leads to hell. It's a stark warning, isn't it? So don't be overcome with evil. Fighting evil with evil leads to our downfall. And it's what happened to those neighbours I mentioned a moment ago. A heart attack and a couple separating. The only thing that won was evil. So how do we instead overcome evil with good? Well, first, realise we can never do this in our own strength. It's the most natural thing in the world, as I've said, to want to repay evil with evil. So we need the work of God's Holy Spirit. And I quite liked the little video where you almost saw a little cloud coming and resting in a person. It's a good visual illustration of what happens. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives if we're going to do this. And so the first thing we need to do is turn our attention to Jesus. If we think about it, Jesus is both our model and our source of power for being able to overcome evil with good. Jesus came into the world, didn't he? Bringing love, peace and goodness. And how was he treated? Well, we treated him shamefully. We did not want to know. We rejected him. Both the Jews at the time and the Romans, Jews and Gentiles, were involved in beating him up and putting him to death on a cross. It was a great act of evil, and we're all implicated. We all share in that sin. But think how Jesus might have reacted. He could quite justifiably have called on 10 legions of angels down from heaven to destroy humanity, but he did not do that. Instead, he went willingly to the cross, saying he would die in our place, taking all the evil of the world onto himself. And in doing that, he overcame evil with good. So Jesus, you see then, is our model, our example of how to behave. Instead of striking back tit for tat, He calls us to break this cycle of revenge. And by doing that, you see, we will not be overcome with evil. Instead, we will defeat it. But Jesus is not only our model, he is also the power source for this behaviour. Because only in him can we have the evil within us forgiven and dealt with. And only through him, through his transforming power that the Holy Spirit brings, can we begin to behave as he calls us to. So let's put the foundation in first, Jesus. We need to root ourselves in Jesus as our example and as the source of power for our goodness. So let's say we've done that. We're walking in step with the Holy Spirit. We're looking to Jesus as both model and the source of our behaviour. Let me just go through a couple of examples of how responding in goodness can overcome evil. I came across a wonderful story about an American farmer called William Ladd. His neighbouring farmer was a bit of a menace. Or rather, his sheep were being a bit of a menace. These sheep were, I think, they sound quite strange to me. They're of a peculiar breed that had long legs. And so these sheep kept getting over the fence into a field of crops owned by William. William mentioned this to the neighbour. He complained about it, but the neighbour didn't really seem to care. So one morning, William got fed up. And he said to his men, "Look, I've had enough. I want you to set the dogs on those sheep. And if the dogs don't keep them out, well, just shoot them." The men went off, and William was left to his thoughts, and he thought, "This will not do. I had better try the peace principle instead." So he sent a message to his men, cancelling the order, and he rode over to see his neighbour. But the message had already reached the ears of his neighbour. As he arrived, he said, "Good morning. I've come to see you about those sheep." His neighbour just looked at him. "Yes, I know. You're a petty neighbour, aren't you? Telling your men to kill my sheep, and you being a rich landowner, you're going to shoot a poor man's sheep?" William replied, "I was wrong, and I am sorry for it. Think no more about it. But look, seeing as it looks like I have to put up with your sheep being on my property, rather than them eat my grain, I'll tell you what, I'll put them into a field of my best pasture. I will look after them all season. And at the end of the season, if any one of those sheep is missing, you can have the pick of mine." Well, William's neighbour was astonished. "Are you serious?" When he found out that William really did mean it, he stood still for a moment and then said, "Look, don't worry. I will make sure my sheep will not trouble you anymore. When you talk about going around shooting, I can shoot as well as you. But when you speak in that kindly, neighbourly way, I can be kind too." So tell me, isn't that a better way to overcome evil? Those two farmers could have got locked into a cycle of revenge and hatred, but instead goodness won the day. The battle was over and both sides won. But it took William having to walk the way of humility and goodness to achieve it. Let me give you another example. A Christian soldier in the army in the United States was being given a hard time because he was Christian. Every night he'd read his Bible. When he'd read his Bible, he'd get down from his bunk, kneel and pray with his eyes closed. And he was the only Christian in the place, and the others took the mickey out of him. When he tried to pray or read his Bible, they would be deliberately noisy. The Christian ignored their taunts. He kept on. So finally one night, a group of soldiers got their boots. And while this lad was kneeling with his eyes closed in prayer, they beat him and beat him. The man praying couldn't see who they were because he was bowed down in prayer. But having finished, these soldiers just left their boots in a pile and went to bed. They woke up the next morning to find their boots not only had been put neatly at the ends of their beds, but they'd been polished. The persecution ended that day. When Christians behave like that, it has the most profound effect. And sometimes evil men have been converted to the Christian faith. They've come to know the Lord through such examples. The witness of that soldier spoke volumes about the love and the power, the forgiveness that Jesus can bring. Of course, it's not always like that, let's be honest. Sometimes the evil will continue. And that is when all we can do then is leave the perpetrators to God's justice rather than taking justice into our own hands. And I think that's what verses 19 and 20 in Romans chapter 12 are about. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. When we respond to evil with good, it will have one of two effects. It will either have the most desired effect of bringing that person to know the Lord, so that they can know forgiveness, a new life of goodness with Christ, and eternal life. But if they refuse, if they continue their evil behaviour, well, we're told to leave them to God, and God will bring justice in his own time. But I want to close with us thinking about our own souls. Because a major benefit, as we've heard, of returning good for evil is that it stops us from being sucked into this downward spiral of ever-increasing evil. And yes, we may feel frustrated at the lack of justice here and now, but another part of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. But when we keep on responding with good, we preserve ourselves from evil. When we refuse to fight evil with evil, then evil can't truly hurt us. And yes, we might get physically and mentally battered, but our souls are being made more pure through the Holy Spirit. We become more like Jesus, more Christ-like. The enemy wants to drag us down so that we drown in anger and malice. But if we in the power of Christ remain unprovoked, we have the victory. We can overcome evil. But friends, we can only do this by resting in Christ our Saviour and walking in step with the Spirit. Christ is our example and our source of power for doing this. I opened with that story of the neighbours fighting over parked cars. Well, that escalated, didn't it? And it brought destruction to both parties as they were dragged down by their evil responses. But the message today is that the Christian does not need to be sucked into the downward spiral. In the power of Christ, we are to overcome evil with good. And that might bring a blessing on those who oppose us. But it's not guaranteed. It may bring a stop to the conflict, but that's not guaranteed either. But one thing is guaranteed and is certain. We will have stood against letting evil overcome us. And that can only be good for our souls as we're transformed into the likeness of Christ. So let's pray to the Lord together. Father God, we thank you that we don't just receive forgiveness from our sins, but that you equip us with your Spirit so that we can live transformed lives. And we just ask, Lord, that you open up our hearts now and allow your Spirit to work in us so that we might produce the fruit of the Spirit. And particularly this morning, we pray for goodness to flow out of our lives, even when we're faced with evil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.